What's up, everybody? Welcome to 10 Minutes with Billy. This is Billy from Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve. We're going to go over, what was this, week 12 that just passed? Week 11 in the NFL season here? Yeah, week 12. A little bit of news and notes, same, you know, the usual deal. Given to you by my cynical, I guess you could say, viewpoint. Again, I'm not trying to be cynical, I'm not trying to be negative, but if you watch any or listen to any radio or TV show, everybody is the greatest. I always thought the greatest was one, and then everyone else goes from there, but everybody is the greatest, and we don't really do that here. So little notes that I have here. The beginning of the second quarter, I think, Tampa Bay ran the ball like four or five straight times for a touchdown. They had a BS penalty in there, I thought. The guy, they said he hit Brady, didn't hit him in the head. Brady did the sneak, whatever. They got that penalty call. The point is, they ran the ball four or five times. Touchdown. You know, I've said it year or week after week after week. Run the ball when you're in close, whether it be a first down, whether it be goal line. Run the ball. Cincinnati had a field goal early in the game after a bad couple plays from the two-yard line. Okay, the two-yard line. This is a day where Mixon was running wild. 160 yards, I think he had, 130, something like that. From the two-yard line, they ended with a field goal. Why would they not run the ball with the guy who was on fire that day? Ended up not really needing the touchdown, but the point is, when you play a good team and you need touchdowns, not field goals, do the smart play from the two-yard line, four straight runs. I don't see why teams don't do that more often. Back to the, I'm going to bounce around here. I just took the notes as I saw the games. There's one play, a scoring play, Jack Doyle for Indianapolis. They had Taylor short, Ali Cox mid, and Doyle deep, about, 20 yards. One defender. I mean, that was a beautiful play. One guy's coming up. Some guy got over there late, hit Doyle for the touchdown. Beautiful draw up. Looking back here at the looking to the Tennessee Patriots game. Halftime should have been a 17-16 lead for Tennessee. Missed a field goal, mixed an extra point. Does that play on the psyche of being down by four against a team who's clearly getting better? Who knows? But if you go into halftime with a lead, all right, we got this. We just got to maintain. Things could change. So points are important. We talk about it all the time. Not necessarily points, but five plays, five non-scoring plays, win or lose a game. So we're going to call this a non-scoring play because it's a missed extra point, missed field goal. There's a nice pass to Rieger. It was a little bit underthrown. The announcers are like, oh, he had to underthrow it on purpose. Hurts did the right thing. I don't really believe these guys underthrow on purpose. Most quarterbacks, especially nowadays, run a zone offense. You throw to a spot. So either he underthrew the spot accidentally because he didn't give a good pass, or the receiver ran past it. Either way, he made a good catch. And keep in mind, most spectacular catches are technically bad catches. It's either out of route or a bad throw, which makes the catch spectacular. You know what I mean? But the way these announcers talk about some of these quarterbacks, they want them so desperately to be good. Like Troy Aikman will tell you, oh, it's a crappy pass, and what is this guy doing out there? He's one of the few guys that'll tell you if it's good or bad. So if he tells you it's good, it has a little more value to it. Like I said when I started this, everybody's the greatest ever. Like, get out of here with that. Here's another one for Hunt. A Hurts threw an interception right before the half. Hurts threw an interception right before the end of the half. They were inside the two-yard line. No runs. On third down, they roll out to the right. He drops back like 7 yards and throws the interception. He can run the ball with a sneak. Boston Scott was getting yardage. Why are you rolling out from the two-yard line on a 5-7-step drop and throwing a ball? What are you doing? Run the ball. I'm not even a fan of running with Hurts, but at least give him a run-pass option. A sneak. You're at the two-yard line. You're going to make it in four plays. You should make it. Back-to-back interceptions in a Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game. Cincinnati, pick six. I was watching with my dad and Liam. All of us at the same time, don't throw it, don't throw it. We see Ben eyeing the receiver, throws it his noodle arm in the wind, pick six. I mean, we all saw it. Ben is looking old, man. I'm going to get to a point with later on in the show, but Steve was talking about, on a side conversation, Steve was telling me how, you know, how bad it was, or why would the Patriots get rid of Stephon Gilmore? This is exactly why. They would get rid of a player 2 years sooner than him having one bad year and ruining everything. That's a case in point right there. Wes Welker, got rid of him. One great year in Denver, duds the next three, wasn't part of the Super Bowl team after that. Got rid of him a year too soon to some people, but Denver only had one good year out of four. So it looks like Patriots did a good move. Again, we'll get back to that. And in the half with Miami and Carolina, that fumble, defender, you're on defense. Your offense job is to score. You have to see the clock. You had 10, 11 seconds. I'm with you. You ran the ball back. You got within field goal range. But then you got to realize you've got 3 seconds and four defenders around you. Give yourself up. Stop the clock. Give your offense a chance. They lucked out and got that 1 second for the field goal. But you have to know the situation. You're not going to make it 40 yards with 2 seconds with three guys around you. Take the knee, slide, get your offense out there. Again, they lucked out with that 1 second, and they ended up not winning anyway. But if it's a close game, 3 points to 7 points, it's a big deal. Know the situation. There was an Indianapolis 3rd-and-1. Same thing. Roll out, 5-yard drop. You have Taylor, who, for the most part, was not held in check. They just didn't run the ball. So if you go, oh, no, Tampa Bay's defense held them down. No. Indianapolis played into what Tampa Bay wanted when throwing the ball. I know some of you out there, yeah, but he threw a nice bomb. When you have nobody back, man on man, you're trying to stop the run, your quarterback can get lucky and throw a deep ball. The deep ball is throw it up high enough where your receiver can run underneath it, and that's what they did. That defense went out there to set up, stop the run, force the pass. They forced the pass. They got burnt by it. When they got the lead, they scored 3 touchdowns in the second half, I believe. I have the notes here. 3 second-half touchdowns, Tampa Bay. When they had to play from behind Indianapolis, Tampa Bay dropped the 2 safeties. No more passing for Wentz. He went back to doing Wentz stuff. That's a game plan. They got burnt early in the game, but they understood that was a possibility. Stopped the run. At the end of the game, they ran the ball more, ultimately lost Indianapolis. Because of a better game plan. Run sets up the pass. Pass sets up the run, depending on your team. But that one there, they rolled out. Bad play. 4th down, they go for it, and they get it. I've got to check. I think Indianapolis has more 4th down plays than anybody because of their horrible play calling. Maybe the Browns are worse, because they are. But these teams go for it on 4th down because they run so many bad plays on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd down. Tennessee was throwing the ball on a 4th-and-1 from the 1, okay? Tennessee, I understand Henry's not there, but on that day, I believe, or the week before, I'm pretty sure it was this weekend, both running backs had over 100 yards. Why are you passing the ball from the 1-yard line? Tannehill can roll out. He can sneak. You've got running backs who can get 1 yard. What are you doing? Why are you rolling out and throwing a bad pass? You're at the 1-yard line. It's 1 yard, 3 feet. Get bang up the middle. Come on. There's one. Steve Woods didn't want to hear it from me. Tua rolls out to the left like he normally does. Nobody's around him, but he kind of like jump skips and throws the ball to the receiver's feet. Why are you jump skipping to throw a ball when no one's around you? Set your feet and throw the ball. You would have completed the pass. There's no need to be fancy when there's no need to be fancy. You know what's fancy? 6 points on the board and a completed pass. That's what's fancy. The Giants had a 6-point lead. Philadelphia had 1 timeout. Guess what? Were they running the ball? Nope. They were throwing incomplete passes, stopping the clock for the Giants. Did you guys know that when you run the ball and you're tackling bounds, the clock has to keep rolling? And up to the other team to call that timeout and waste that timeout? You don't pass the ball in those situations. Bad coaching. I said earlier in the season, I was on for Hurts. They had a good game plan for him. Nope, they do not. And I'll get to that in a minute. Jump to the afternoon games. Chargers had a punt. The returner was trying to shake and he fell down. There was nobody around him and he was going left, right, like almost a spin. Nobody's there and he falls down. Run straight, shake around people who you're trying to avoid, not avoid nobody. That was weird, man. In the Green Bay game, Amos, I know you guys see his fourth and one from about the mid linebacker spot, dove right in, took out the running back. Hell of a play. I mean, that was a thing of beauty. He hit the hole perfectly. I have a note here, San Francisco and their gadget plays. I mean, Deebo Samuel, he's doing good when they get to run the ball, but they're doing like, they had like a double pass behind the line. I mean, what are you doing? For how intense football is and how difficult it is, it's not difficult. Good defense, good run game, timely passing. Any team who's ever done that has not lost. One of my favorite teams, Peyton Manning, first year with the Broncos. Records all over the place on offense. Outscored everybody. Got destroyed in the Super Bowl against a good defense, Seattle, and a good running back, Marshawn Lynch. I mean, come on. There's proof all over the place. Timely passing, great run game, great defense. That's hard to beat. You know, I'm looking down here, Miami, or mid-third quarter, Green Bay goes in a fourth and two. Clock's down to 3 seconds, and LA calls timeout. Why? Why would you give Aaron Rodgers more time to stop and think? They have such bad clock management in Green Bay, it's mind-blowing. Start of the third quarter, Deebo Samuel's back to San Francisco. He does an end around. He runs past the block, okay? We know this play. He's running down. He's got his hand on the lineman's back, blocking the guy, the defender. But Deebo runs right to the defender and gets tackled. Wait for your block. Pick a side and run by him when your blocker takes that guy out. That was a weird one to me. Cup hit a two-point conversion. His footwork was amazing. At the same time, Herbert threw one to the tight end, Cook. Jump ball, I mean, beautiful play. Feet work, fantastic. Speaking of fantastic feet work, 3rd and 9, Herbert drops it off to Eckler. Eckler runs, bangs through some people, gets that first down. 3rd and 9, does a bunch of work himself, gets the first. Illegal man downfield, penalty, negates the play. Next play, interception. 5 plays. Non-scoring plays, win or lose the game. You had a first down, taken away, ninth throw an interception. All right, those are my little news and notes. Nothing crazy. It was a good week of football. But some of these plays I see are like, come on, man, what are you doing? Did the Cleveland play, the Browns? They must not have been on my TV screwing up the run game that often. Who knows? So I'm looking here. Miami, 4-game win streak. Steve, huge Dolphin fan. I mean, they're doing well. They're beating the bad teams. They're doing what they're supposed to do. New England, all the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season when I was doing these recaps, New England is hiding Mac Jones. They're developing him, but they're kind of hiding him a little bit. They're not hiding him anymore. Good run game. He's putting the ball out there. As a Bills fan, New England is like, oh, God, here we go again with New England. Now, Buffalo plays New England twice to end the season. This week coming up, and then a couple weeks later. Rooting hard for the Bills here, okay? We know this. What else we got here? Yeah, they're not hiding Mac Jones anymore. So I took a couple screenshots of stuff, of people talking about, oh, look how good Jalen Hurts is doing. Look how good, you know, these guys are doing their thing. No, those are false statements. Jalen Hurts, up until Philadelphia, I got my notes here. Oh, yeah, so here's something. Here's a mid-second quarter. Tampa Bay 7, the Colts 3, and Tampa Bay was looking really good. 7 rush yards for the Colts in the mid-second quarter. So a quarter and a half, almost half of the first half. 7 total run yards with the best running back in the league. Tampa Bay came out and said, we're going to try to score quick, score fast to force Indianapolis to throw the ball. Indianapolis was doing what they wanted them to do before they had a chance to implement their game plan. You're the best running back in the league right now. Why are you, oh, Tampa Bay is a great run defense. You have a great run offense. But you didn't even try to use it till the end of the game when it was too late. Second quarter, listen to this. Pittsburgh, second quarter, getting destroyed, right? Rush yards, 23-3. Bengals are winning. Rush yards, 116 in the first half. So a winning team in the first half, 116 yards. A losing team in the first half, 7 yards. I'm going to keep saying it week after week, run the ball. Timely passing. Run the ball on short yardage plays, goal line plays. All right, let's see here. So Cam Newton was intercepted. I mean, Cam Newton's bad. 21-7 in the second quarter. Cam Newton, interception, led to points for Miami. That's what you need. You need an interception, turnover, points for Miami. I'm not saying this to give Miami credit. This is for Steve. Cam Newton is so bad, it made Miami look good. He completed 5 passes the whole game and was benched. Now, Miami scored. They did a good job whooping on him. That's good. You're supposed to destroy a bad team, not barely win. But Cam Newton completed 5 passes. Christian McCaffrey didn't play 3/4 of the game. Let's not get carried away. Miami being superstars. They're good versus bad teams. Thinking of bad quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, up until the last drive, okay? Up until the last drive, losing to the Giants 13-7, 1 minute, 11 seconds left in the game. Hurts was 11 for 23, 97 yards, 3 interceptions. That's not a good quarterback, okay? 8 rushes, 77 yards. Make him a running back, okay? You cannot be in a game against a bad team, 97 total pass yards with 3 interceptions. Oh, but the week before, he had 3 rushes. New Orleans is not that good. They're okay. They're not that good. The Giants are not that good either. But Giants have a good defense. Daniel Jones is horrible. So a semi-good defense with speed on the outside, I've said all season long, will shut down a running quarterback. And look what happened. They shut him down. Now, I will say this about Hurts. His passes were horrible. But he hit 2 or 3 in the breadbasket, in the hands, in stride passes that these guys just dropped. You can't have that. Maybe they're surprised the pass is on target. Who knows? But when your quarterback is not good and he hits you in stride, you've got to catch that ball. Tua had one to Waddle, I believe. He did not break his stride a single length of that. His stride didn't stop. Didn't slow up for 1 second. Ran in for a touchdown. It was a long one too. And again, I'm bashing the Dolphins. I am not anti-Tua. I do not think he's going to make a team better, but he's going to keep a good team good. I don't think he's going to make the bad mistake. He's fragile, for sure. But we'll see what he'll do. I'm not against him. I still think Mac Jones is better as far as Alabama quarterbacks go. And again, you can tell by, don't look at the numbers. 7 for 17, 300 yards or whatever the numbers are. Look at the pass. Is he throwing 20 yards down the field in stride or throwing 2-yard dump offs they get 12 yards on? Numbers lie. Are the passes in stride or is he throwing to the feet? He threw one end zone pass to the feet because he hop, skipped, and jumped to throw the ball when nobody was around. I don't understand that. I don't know why these guys do this kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to this week, Buffalo and New England. Very important game. If Buffalo beats these two, wins these two against New England, probably to win the division. Miami's coming up. They got to play New England, I think, twice as well. Or maybe, once more at the end of the season. They beat them week 1. Going to be interesting. In the AFC, I'm trying to see if I can find or feel like a clear-cut number one. I guess it would have to be New England. 6 straight wins. Great, great defense. And offense is coming along. Again, offense is always slower than defense, I believe. Now they're all kind of meeting together. And defense is looking very good. Offense is getting there. Now, Buffalo, again, second in the division because New England's New England. They got to play them twice. Kansas City's doing a little bit of something. So you're worried about Kansas City still? I'm not. Their backyard, schoolyard play is good. Defense are shutting it down now. Like, I'm not too concerned. They're beating bad teams. So as the playoffs go right now, Baltimore, New England, Tennessee, and the Chiefs are in division winners. Cincinnati, Buffalo, Chargers are in the wild card. But now you have Vegas, Denver, Indy, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Miami, all with 5 and 6 wins. Chargers with 6 wins. So that last spot is in and out. And Buffalo and Cincy with 7, they can be swapped around. There's no, and then Baltimore, New England, Tennessee with 8 wins. Tennessee's dropping off to me, but there's no one there to take that division from them. So they're probably going to win that division. In the NFC playoffs, Arizona 9-2. Listen, I'm sorry. They're falling off. I don't see much. We'll see. But they're 9-2. Green Bay 9-2. Tampa 8-3. Dallas 7-4. Rams 7-4. Everybody else is 5. San Francisco's got 6 wins. They're in the second wild card spot. But there's a clear difference in the good teams and not good teams in the NFC. In the AFC, everybody's kind of right there. So it's going to come down to these last few games. Division games. Conference games. I'm rooting hard for Buffalo. Now, Steve was talking about how, oh man, they got rid of Stephon Gilmore, Patriots. The Patriots have always gotten rid of their top players a couple years before, because the alternative is what you see in Pittsburgh, a old Ben Roethlisberger who doesn't know what he's doing anymore. I cited earlier, Wes Welker. He had a fantastic year the first year in Denver with Peyton Manning. The next 3 years, in and out, wasn't on the Super Bowl team, year 4. They got all they got out of him, got rid of him. Lawyer Malloy came to Buffalo. Top safety, fantastic safety. Wanted more money? We'll get rid of him. We'll get somebody else. Buffalo picked him up. 1 or 2 good years. All of a sudden, he was done. In and out, injuries. Smart business by New England. Richard Seymour had a really good year in Oakland 1 year. And then all of a sudden, that was it. It was gone. Great years with New England. They got Randy Moss, gave him the best career of his, best season of his career. Then they're done with him. Nobody else picked him up. They saw writings on the wall. He's not going to be this superstar much longer. Let's cut our ties now. And they did. New England, they got Corey Dillon for a little bit, made him great from Cincinnati, then got rid of him after he did what he needed them to do. Couple more years of mediocre football. New England gets you when they need you, maximizes your potential, sees you got 1 or 2 years left, an expiring contract, will find somebody else who wants to contribute. There are no 5s on that team, 1 through 5. There are no 5, no superstars on that team. Everybody's a 3 and a 4 working together. The second a guy wants more, he's gone. No one is above the team in New England. They will never have that mentality. Last year, Cam stunk the place up. They got rid of him. Now, I thought it was hurt. He had a weird throwing motion. He's still not back. He looks a little better this year, but he's not back. He's done. He's old. He's Ben Roethlisberger. Look at the good teams. Very few superstars or unselfish players. So you can be a Mahomes, a Tyreek Hill. You're good, but you're not an egomaniac, at least for the most part. Then you got guys who, me. Those teams don't work. Look at Beckham. One good catch and his whole career made him. And he's done nothing since. Aaron Rodgers. Me. With all the talent in the world, one Super Bowl ring. And all they keep talking about is he has no receivers. If you're good, you make your receivers. Nobody wanted Marvin Harrison before or after Peyton Manning. Nobody wanted Reggie Wayne before or after Peyton Manning. He went to New England for a little bit, did nothing. Manning made okay receivers Hall of Famers. Rodgers can't do that? He needs all these people? Come on, man. He's selfish. Great running backs. LaFleur forces him to run the ball. Contrary to what everybody believes, these guys do not call their own plays. They are not allowed to. Most of them get 2 plays, and you can only check out of that first one if it is very clear it's not going to work. Other than that, you're not drawing up your own plays. Peyton Manning did it a lot. Not even precious Tom Brady. And he'll tell you, coaches, I play. He says, run this play, I run that play. No ego with Tom Brady. For all you Brady haters out there, I don't know what your issue is. I was anti-Brady because you can't compare him to Peyton Manning, in my opinion. Manning saw the field like nobody else. Brady's a fantastic teammate. 2 great players in 2 different ways. So why you have this hate for Brady, I have no idea. So that's 10 minutes of Billy. A little bit of NFL. Our fantasy stuff will be coming out by the end of this week. Steven will have another podcast for you tomorrow. Facebook. Yeah, Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve. Instagram, neighborly underscore discourse, Twitter, @n_discourse. Talk to you guys soon.